العالمين والصلاة والسلام على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فضل عائشة على النساء كفضل الثغير على سائر الطعام كم لم من الرجال كثير ولم يكمل من النساء إلا مريم بنت عمران وآسيا امرأة فرعون. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that there are two women who have attained the level of perfection. They were Maryam, the daughter of Imran, and Asiya, the wife of the Pharaoh. Today, inshallah, I'm going to share a brief biography of these two righteous and great role models from which we can all take lessons. And before I do that, just a brief comment on this hadith. This hadith is often misunderstood by people, right? The hadith says that many men attain perfection, but only two women attain perfection, Maryam and the wife of the Pharaoh. And some people misunderstand this to mean that more men are pious and only two women in history are pious. This is not what the hadith means, right? There are four levels of piety. There's the prophets, there's the righteous, the salihin, there's the martyrs, the shuhada, and there is the truthful, the siddiqin. When it comes to the shuhada, the salihin, and the siddiqin, there are many men and many women throughout history who have reached those levels. The highest level, that of the anbiya, those who are ma'asum, those who are sinless, those who communicated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through revelation, that level, many men reach, but only two women reach. And those two women are Maryam and Asiya. Now the scholars have a difference of opinion, where Maryam and Asiya, non-prophets who reach the prophetic level of perfection, or can we actually consider them to be prophets? There were a handful of scholars who actually considered Maryam and Asiya to be prophets because they did receive a type of revelation. Specifically in the case of Maryam, an angel literally came to her and told her, "You're going to have a baby." Right? She spoke to the angel Jibreel. Right? That is a type of revelation. But nonetheless, the hadith is not in any way demeaning woman, as is a major problem in our times. A lot of hadiths are misunderstood to put women down. When you actually study these hadiths in a proper context, that is not what these hadiths are saying. So in this case, for example, when the hadith says many men have attained perfection, only two women have attained perfection, it means many men became prophets, only two women reached the level of prophets in their piety. Right? But in other levels of piety, men and women, there were many in our history. So who are these two women who reach such a high level of piety that they are on par with the prophets? These women are mentioned together towards the end of Surah Tahrim. One of them is Maryam, the mother of Jesus. And the other is Asiya, the wife of the Pharaoh. And their stories are very different from each other. These are two very different models of piety. One is a woman who is raised in righteousness. From the time she is born, even before she is born, her mother makes dua to have a righteous baby. She is raised in righteousness and her whole life is one of righteousness. The other is a woman who grows up in the worst possible environment, the house of the pharaohs. She becomes a queen in the house of the pharaohs. She becomes part of the system that is oppressing and genociding people. Yes, she becomes a model of righteousness and martyrdom from within that system. Two very different models of piety. And what's interesting about Surah Tahrim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah gives an example for all of the believers in the wife of Pharaoh and in Mary, the mother of Jesus. So in this surah, Allah is saying that Mary and Asiya are not role models for women. They are role models for all of us. They are role models for all of the believers. Maryam's piety and her tawakkul and her dua is something we can all take lessons from. Asiya's self-sacrifice, giving up of the dunya and martyrdom is something everyone can take lessons from. We don't have to limit these lessons to specific genders. So Maryam alayhi salam is considered the greatest woman to ever live. The Virgin Mary is Islamically considered the greatest woman to ever live. This hadith says she reached the level of perfection. In the Quran, in Surah Al-Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He chose her over all of the women in the universe. That she is the absolute highest level. Another hadith, she is mentioned amongst the leaders of the women of Jannah. And The biggest sign that she is the greatest of women is that she's the only one mentioned by name in the Quran, and there's an entire surah named after her. Now, some of the scholars ask, why does the Quran talk about so many women but only mentions one by name? It was to give her a special status. It was to give her a special honor, to say that she was on a higher level. So what makes Maryam alayhi salam so special? There are many qualities of Maryam alayhi salam that made her so special, starting with her upbringing. Surah Ali Imran tells us that Maryam alayhi salam, even before she was born, her parents are making dua, "Oh Allah, give us a righteous child." So from the beginning, we know that she's growing up in a righteous household. Her mother and father were righteous people, raising her on this deen. And she grows up to be a worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a woman who spends her life in a special corner of the, what would be the masjid of that time, just worshipping Allah. And she reached such a high level of worship and piety that she experienced karamat, miracles. And she had her du'as answered immediately. This is a woman who had miracles and du'as were answered immediately. When you think about the miracles of Maryam alayhi salam, of the Virgin Mary, we have, for example, she would have fruit in her apartment that was out of season. So the Prophet Zakaria alayhi salam was in charge of visiting her. And the Prophet Zakaria would come to her, to check her on her and see if she's okay and if she needs anything. And he would find in her apartment fruit that's out of season, which is, in that time, impossible to get. Right, nowadays, sometimes you can import it or you can freeze it. But in those days, it's impossible to get fruit that's out of season. Right? So he asked her, and this whole story is in Surah Ali Imran. Zakaria alayhi salam asked her, "How did you get this?" And she replied, "From Allah." And then she says something amazing. She says, "Allah provides for whomever He wants without limits." Allah provides for whoever He wants without limits. Now, a beautiful lesson from this story is that at this point in time, Maryam alayhi salam inspires Zakaria alayhi salam. You see, Zakaria, the Prophet Zakaria, he and his wife, they were tested with not being able to have children. Anyone who has not been able to have children know that this is a great test from Allah, right? It is human nature that everyone desires children. And so they were tested with not being able to have children. And this went on for a long, long, long time. Decades they could not have children. They are now old, way past the age of being able to have children. But Zakaria, at that old age, when Maryam tells him Allah provides without limits of whoever He wants, Allah says, immediately Zakaria makes dua. Immediately upon hearing the words of Maryam, being inspired by the words of Maryam, Zakaria alayhi salam makes dua. And he asks Allah for a righteous child. And Allah gives him a miracle. He gives him the miracle of his son Yahya, who becomes the next prophet. And so Maryam alayhi salam, she is not just someone who grew up in righteousness and had miracles, but she's someone who inspired others as well. And we learn from her that Allah provides without limits. And this is something that I want us to think about. Each of us have in our lives problems that seem unsolvable. Each of us have in our lives trials that seem unbearable. But Allah provides without limits. Think about that and make dua to Allah to solve your problems. Nothing is beyond Allah's capabilities to solve. Maryam alayhi salam grew up in righteousness, spent her life in righteousness, and Allah chose her for one of the greatest miracles that this world will ever see. The birth of Jesus, peace be upon him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to show us His power to create anything out of nothing, He created Adam alayhi salam without parents. He created Eve from Adam without a mother. And then the third of these perfect miracles, He creates Jesus from Mary without the Father. And so this becomes the three miracles of creation to show us that Allah can create what He wants, how He wants. And it's a beautiful, beautiful story mentioned in both Surah Ali Imran and Surah Maryam. I would like you to go and read it. Read the Arabic, read the translation, sit and think about this very powerful, very beautiful story. Maryam alayhi salam, she is in her private chamber worshipping Allah. An angel comes to her chamber in the form of a man. She seeks Allah's protection from this man. And the angel says, "I'm here to give you good news from Allah that you are going to have a baby." And she's confused. She's never been married. She's never sinned. How is she going to have a baby? And the angel tells her that this is from Allah. And she goes through the process of being pregnant, of having a baby. Allah gives them more miracles. That baby becomes one of the five greatest prophets. That baby grows up to be Jesus, the son of Mary, one of the five greatest prophets. And so the mother of Jesus was one of the women who attained perfection. And she is a role model for us in piety. She is a role model for us in tawakkul. She is a role model for us in making dua. She is a role model for us of what happens when you raise your children in righteousness. And so we all should study the life of Maryam alayhi salam and take lessons from her and try to emulate her piety, try to emulate her dua, try to emulate her tawakkul, because she is the model of perfection in all of these areas. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد وضرب الله مثل الذين آمنوا امرأة فرعون إذ قالت رب ابن عندك بيتا في الجنة ونجني من فرعون وعمله ونجني من القوم الظالمين. The story of Asiya, the wife of Pharaoh, is not mentioned in as much detail in the Quran as the story of Maryam عليه السلام. But what is mentioned is deep and powerful, and it puts on a level of piety that most of us cannot even imagine. Asiya is the wife of who is at that time the most powerful man on earth, but also the biggest dictator on earth, a man who is leading a genocide against the believers. To put things in context, imagine if the prime minister of Israel's wife had to convert to Islam, right? The man leading a genocide against the believers, and his wife converts to Islam. This is the story of Asiya. Asiya is the wife of the Pharaoh, and she accepts Islam. And we don't know the details. There are multiple narrations in the history books, but most of them, we cannot ascertain the authenticity, right? But what they do show us is that she had accepted Islam much earlier on, and she kept it hidden for obvious reasons. And she's not the only one. Many people in the household of the Pharaoh had accepted Islam, but they kept it hidden, because they knew that he's going to kill them if he finds out. Asiya is also responsible, according to some of the historians, for raising the Prophet Moses, peace be upon him. That it was her who, when Moses was a baby, and he was put in the basket and put in the river, it was her who found the basket and who decided to adopt Moses. Now, I'm not completely convinced about this because historically there is some difference of opinion whether the Fir'aun that raised Moses and the Fir'aun that Moses spoke to as an adult, whether they were the same person or not, right? Because Fir'aun is a title. It's a title. And according to most historians, one Pharaoh raised Moses, and his son who grew up with Moses is the next Pharaoh that Moses confronts as an adult. So it gets a bit murkier because the details are unclear. But the Quran doesn't ask us to go into details about history. It asks us to take lessons from history. And so the story of Asiya is literally confined to a single verse in the Quran to drive home one very important lesson. The issue of martyrdom, the issue of sacrificing yourself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the issue of standing up to a tyrant and speaking the truth regardless of the consequences. Asiya is portrayed as the model of all of this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us the greatest jihad is to speak the truth in the face of a tyrant. Pharaoh was the greatest of tyrants, and Asiya speaks the truth to his face. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us towards the end of Surah Tahreem, Allah gives you the example for all of the believers in the wife of the Pharaoh. When she said, "Oh my Lord, build for me a house near you in Jannah and save me from Pharaoh and his deeds and save me from these oppressive people." So it's summarized in one verse and one dua. The entire story of the wife of the Pharaoh, a woman who attained perfection. What do we mean by attained perfection? One of the hardest things for any human being to do is to stand up to a tyrant ruler, knowing that you are going to be tortured and killed for doing so. This is one of the hardest things for anyone to do. Now, if you are the wife of that tyrant, you are even more at his mercy. And if you grew up in that type of household with all of those luxuries and all of that wealth, you're not psychologically prepared to be tortured or to be killed, right? People who grow up in luxury normally grow up very soft. So this is trial upon trial. This is like the highest level of someone who has everything to lose and nothing in this world to gain from standing up to a tyrant. Yes, she does so. Asiya stands up to her husband and she tells him that Allah is the Lord, not him, because Pharaoh claimed to be God. And she tells him that Allah is God, not you. And she faces the consequences for doing so. She is tortured brutally and publicly by her husband for a long time. His hope is that the more he tortures her, perhaps at some point she'll break and she'll accept him as God and things can go back to normal. But she refuses to do so. Interesting point in history and even going on in the world today with Gaza. Every time tyrants try to beat the faith out of people through torture, through genocide, through any of these things, not only does it make the faith of those people stronger, it makes other people convert to Islam. And this is what happens here with Asiya as well. People are witnessing her fate against the tyranny of her husband, and she becomes an inspiration for the people. It said that he tortured her out in public in front of everyone. And instead of giving up, she looks up to the sky and she makes dua. And she says, Rabbi ibni indaka baytan fil jannah. My Lord, build for me near you a house in Jannah. She asks Allah to give her a house in Jannah. She has given up this world completely. She doesn't want anything of this world anymore. All she wants is Jannah and to be near her Lord. And some of the narrations say that there were miracles she experienced at this moment that Allah showed her a house in Jannah. This is a karamat that many of the righteous experience when they've been tortured or when they are close to death or when in a moment where they might give up. That Allah may show them Jannah or they may show them what awaits them in the Akhirah if they remain firm. And so some of the scholars say that she experienced this miracle at that time and that put her heart at peace. And this angers the Pharaoh. That no matter how much he is torturing this woman, she is getting stronger and stronger in her faith. And in the second half of her dua, she says, وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ. Save me from Pharaoh and his actions. She frees herself from Pharaoh's tyranny and his genocide. She doesn't want anything to do with it. And she asks Allah to save her from being a victim of his oppression. وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Save me from these evil people. Asiya is killed by the Pharaoh through this torture. Now, people who think in only the terms of dunya, they may say, she asked Allah to save her from the Pharaoh, but Allah let the Pharaoh kill her? Now, when you think only in terms of this world, you think, okay, she asked to be saved from him, but he killed her. What's going on here? And we see people may just ask the same question today about Gaza. That people in Gaza are asking to be saved from the Zionists and they're still dying. Well, being saved in Islam does not necessarily mean a worldly victory. Because she got her house in Jannah. She got her status as one of the women of perfection. She got martyrdom. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran that this is the greatest victory. The greatest victory is not anything you attain in this world. But if you get to Jannah with all of your sins forgiven, if you get to the highest levels of Jannah, it doesn't matter what happened in this world. You have attained the greatest victory. The story of Asiya is relevant to our times. Because we are living through a time of genocide. And many people's fate is shaken by the genocide that they are seeing in Gaza. And what seems to be something that's not ending, where it doesn't seem to have any, you know, hope that it's going to end anytime soon. And people are losing faith because of this. Ask us to look at the story of Moses and Pharaoh. And we see that when Asiya is being tortured and when she is killed, at that point in time, it doesn't look like there's any hope. But a few years later, the miracle happens and the tide turns and Moses wins. The Prophet Musa alayhi salam wins. And that is how the history of the world plays out. There will always be challenges and challenging times where things seem hopeless. But nothing is ever hopeless. We tie back into the story of Maryam alayhi salam. Allah provides for whom He wills without limits. When the time is right, Allah will send His victory. When the time is right, Allah will send His miracles. When the time is right, the people of Palestine will prevail and they will be victorious. Until then, this ummah needs to be patient. We need to have tawakkul. We need to be optimistic. We need to think good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to make dua and we need to play our role in ensuring that the tide keeps turning in the favor of the Palestinians, and that Allah will grant us victory with them, inshallah, if we keep playing whatever little role we can, whether it's through dua, whether it's through boycotting, whether it's through speaking the truth, whether it's standing up to tyrants, whatever it is, each of us must play whatever role we can. And so these two great women, Asiya and Maryam, are our role models. Maryam is the role model of piety and tawakkul and dua. And Asiya is the role model of standing up to a tyrant, regardless of the consequences. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the strength and the piety to follow in their footsteps and to try and be like them. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make these great women our role models and allow us to benefit from their legacies and the legacy of all the great men and women throughout our history. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.